We're back with more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The Brewers, despite their losing record, represent the pinnacle of the baseball world in Wisconsin. But fans don't necessarily need to go to Miller Park to watch some high-quality baseball here. There are two minor league teams that call the state home in Beloit and Appleton, and eight members of the Northwoods League are scattered throughout Wisconsin, including teams in Mequon and in Kenosha.
The Northwoods League is one of a growing number of summer leagues that primarily draw from college baseball teams around the country. And while players from some of the Northwoods League teams have gone on to star in the majors, few summer teams can beat the track record of the Clarinda A's, an amateur team that plays in the small town of Clarinda, Iowa.
The team and its legendary coach nurtured the talents of stars such as Ozzie Smith and Andrew Kashner, and some who went on to play for the Brewers, including pitcher Cal Eldred. The story of the team and its late coach are the subject of a new book by journalist Michael Tackett called The Baseball Whisperer. Mike Tackett joins us by phone from the Washington, D.C. area. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So for people who are baseball fans, mainly major league fans, say, they might be fans of, you know, the Brewers or the Cubs or the Nationals or whoever. Why do you think it's important or at least good for them to know the story of Merle Eberle and the Clarinda A's?
I think it's because baseball has so many levels, and players try to go through this pyramid, and the pyramid gets narrower at each level. But you've got to have that moment where you get your shot, where somebody sees you or your talent flowers, and it's in little places like Clarinda, and it's in these summer leagues. Because some players blossom late, and the book, The Baseball Whisperer, has so many examples of that. It really does fit into an integrated whole. The book tells the story of there are more than 36 players who went on to Major League Baseball, more than 300 signed professional contracts, and almost all of them would say that it was their time in Clarinda, where they were focusing intensely on baseball, that really brought out their talent.
Again, for people who don't necessarily follow every level of baseball, can you explain the significance of the A's within the baseball universe? I mean, they started as purely a town team before they became primarily a college team. Where do they fall in the baseball universe?
They're one of the competitive summer leagues that you see around the country. The best known, of course, is the Cape Cod League in Massachusetts. There's the Alaska League in Alaska. And then throughout the country, there are these other summer teams. And you'll see players of varying skill levels, but you will almost always see people who become professional prospects. And the reason in part is because when they're on these teams, even though they have aggressive schedules in college, it's nothing like what they face there. So they come to these primarily smaller towns. They live baseball. They play, you know, an aggressive schedule of maybe 60 games in 2 months. They have to learn how to endure 2-, 3-, 4-hour bus rides from one small town to another. So in a lot of ways, it replicates life in the minor leagues. And if you can succeed doing that, then that's a fairly good indicator that you have a chance to progress to the next level.
And if that's their place in the baseball universe, the Clarinda A's place in the geographic universe is also not very well known. And I gather that's really part of the point that makes this story so remarkable.
This is why, you know, when I was writing The Baseball Whisperer and thinking about Clarinda, and, you know, in very rough terms, you know, I kind of say that it's 2 hours from anywhere. I mean, it's almost equidistant from Des Moines or Omaha or Kansas City. And what Merle Eberle was able to do was to sort of make its remoteness and its smallness a virtue, because college coaches thought, well, good, this is a good sort of clean environment for me to send my star players during the summer, and that's a good thing. The parents of the players could be confident that their sons would be well cared for by the host families in Clarinda. And then there's just a certain charm to the field itself, because the outfield beyond the right field fence, depending upon the year as they rotate crops, it's either a huge cornfield or a huge soybean field. So some of these kids come from the coastal California, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of nowhere. And several players, their first reaction was very negative, like, oh, what did I get myself into? And almost to a player, if you talk to them now, they'll say, you know, what a wonderful experience it was for them. You know, it's a very different kind of a life internship.
Well, right. And you say internship, and nearly all of these people not only played baseball, but they're set up with a host family, and they're set up with jobs the likes of which most of them have never experienced either.
Oh, that was really one of the great parts of looking at this. I mean, some of the big names that played there, Ozzie Smith, for instance, comes from California to Clarinda, and he spends the summer running a jackhammer. He only weighed about 140 pounds at the time. And as you know, a jackhammer is a pretty big animal. And he said that he felt like he would run the jackhammer all day, and then when he would try to bat at night, his arms were still shaking from the jackhammer. Bud Black, who was a famous pitcher for the Royals, went on to be a manager for the San Diego Padres. His job was to sweep the floor at the ball bearing factory. You know, other people's job is, you know, to paint houses and paint fences. But the point is that they try to keep the guys busy for a lot of different reasons. But they did work a legitimate job during the day and then go play baseball at night.
Well, and so let's take a step back if we can, because Merle Eberle himself did not have an especially promising start as a young person. What was his background, and how did it lead to the A's coming into being? And I guess they weren't originally known as the A's.
This is really a great part of the story, and it's why, you know, I hope that The Baseball Whisperer is seen as a book that's about more than baseball, because I think that the story kind of shows that. Merle Eberle was born in a tar paper shack just outside of Clarinda, Iowa during the Depression. His parents ended up getting divorced when he was young, and in that era, that was a very unusual thing to have happen. So he was kind of rudderless. He fell in with kind of the wrong crowd. He, you know, was drinking as a young teenager, and he dropped out of high school and thought he was sort of a big man because he had a job and they would walk around. But then they sort of realized, in fact, they were rather aimless. And his life was redeemed by a coach who was also a famous Iowan named John Tidor. John Tidor had been a World War II hero and also the quarterback of the University of Iowa football team, who had come to Clarinda as a teacher. And one day he confronted Merle and said, "You've either got to come out or get out." And Merle really took to that. He really was searching for that kind of a connection with somebody, particularly a father figure. And he then put himself entirely into the sports, also into his schoolwork, and kind of found his life really transformed. And that really was sort of the predicate that he laid when he wanted to create the Clarinda A's. The Clarinda A's start off as a team called the Clarinda Merchants, which was essentially a bunch of guys who had had their playing days but didn't want to see them go away. And so they kept playing. It was very common in the Midwest to have these, particularly like in the 1950s and 60s. But they started to realize, and Merle in particular, that everybody was getting old. Even when Merle was 35 years old, playing for the A's in the late 1960s, he hit 475 during that year. But he knew that things had to change. And so that's when he hit upon the idea of creating this team. And it was going to be a costly proposition. It would cost probably, he thought, at least $10,000. And this is in 1972. At least $10,000 to put a competitive team on the field because of all the expenses related to it. And he really didn't think that the people in town would do it. But in fact, he was able to persuade them. And local merchants, the local banker, people, you know, just giving $5, $10, $20, whatever they could spare, decided, yes, we want this to be a continued part of our town's identity. And then he built this program from that foundation into what would become a national powerhouse. In 1980, ends up winning the National Baseball Conference tournament in Wichita and brings a real sense of kind of fame and community to Clarinda. And I think that was really also helped to lay that foundation for why it's so enduring now, because they were able to kind of see some of the fruits of success, but ultimately realize that they were really trying to teach something bigger than baseball.
And the thing that amazes me about Merle is all the while he's doing this and living and breathing the Clarinda A's, especially during that period that they're playing, but really having to be their biggest booster and money raiser over the course of a typical year, he's also working a job at the newspaper.
Not to mention that he has six children.
Right.
So another really important part of this story is his wife, Pat. because Pat was really kind of the behind-the-scenes force that made sure this whole enterprise worked. Much more organized than Merle, in some ways, you know, at least as tenacious. So Pat would go to the families in Clarinda and persuade them, you know, that yes, it really would benefit from hosting a player during the summer. She would call the umpires. She would do the scheduling. She would do all the logistics, almost like a general manager would on a minor league team. So she did all that while Merle handled the action on the field. And Merle would get up in the morning, shine his shoes, take his clipboard, and walk around the town of Clarinda because he sold advertising for the local paper. And, you know, they really didn't care about money. I mean, he had enough money to take care of his family, and he spent the rest of his time in developing this team. And the other fun thing about this is he only had one rule for people on the Clarinda A's, and that was nobody was to be paid. So it's an entire volunteer enterprise.
That and facial hair, I thought.
that was really funny, too, because those of us who lived through the 1970s know it was an unfortunate time, both for hair and clothes. But he would insist on short haircuts, and he would take a credit card and rub it on a player's cheek, and if there was too much of a sound, he made them go shave. And that was also somewhat of a rebellious era, and the players instead seemed to kind of take to it. And as Ozzie Smith told me, you know, when I was talking to him for the Baseball Whisperer, he said, you know, you just had to buy into that. He had his rules, and if you wanted to be part of this, you had to abide by those rules. And he did. And one thing I want to make sure that I note, and that's kind of the enduring quality of this, Ozzie Smith, who became a Baseball Hall of Famer with the St. Louis Cardinals and really one of the more beloved players in baseball, obviously had a lot of fame and fortune from the game. Almost every year, he goes back to Clarinda, which is about a seven-hour drive from his home, to help them with their annual fundraising banquet. And he'll sit there and sign cards and do it. And he used to stay in Pat Eberle's home. They had a bedroom on the second floor of the home that was Ozzie's. He would walk into the house, and he would just be sitting in the lounge chair, you know, watching Sports Center. So he's really a part of the family, and the same is true with Vaughn Hayes, who was another one of their famous players that used to play for the Philadelphia Phillies. Vaughn goes back there every year, and it's because this connection just was unbreakable to them.
Well, I was struck that Merle Eberle passed away a few years ago, and it was Ozzie Smith who had the bust of Merle commissioned that stands by the ball field there.
Yeah, it's really a wonderful piece of art. A sculptor in St. Louis, Bruce Weber, did that, and I was actually at that banquet when Ozzie unveiled this to the family. The family didn't know that it was coming. And he just sort of quietly walked up and said, and I've got something, you know, that I want to give to the family for all that they've meant to me. And, you know, he unveiled it, and hardly a dry eye in the house at the moment when that happened. But that, too, shows you, you know, just kind of how special he thought that Merle Eberle was and Merle's family and the people of Clarinda.
Baseball, even amateur baseball, has changed quite a bit since 1972 when the Clarinda A's really morphed into the A's they are today. How hard has it been for the team to have weathered all those changes? And I know it still exists today.
It does, and it gets harder for some different reasons. One is that, you know, some of the other teams try to have different forms of marketing. One of the teams that they play regularly, for instance, started to have a beer garden, and that made it more popular for the fans. And Merle and his family just didn't want to do that. That wasn't the atmosphere they wanted at their games. So, you know, that does affect the crowds. And you also have people who are just busier, a product of two-income families and also a product of their own children now with travel sports and things that take up a lot of time. So, you know, it's really, as an entertainment venue, as competition for people's time, that's been difficult to sustain, but they run the operation leanly, but there are always nervous moments every year. You know, do we have enough money to pay the bus driver or, you know, to buy gas for the bus? And it's a no-frills organization in that respect for sure, except they have wonderful uniforms. They have really, they have these like very distinctive powder blue uniforms. And that's one of the things when people see those, they know that they're playing Clarinda.
You have your own personal reasons for being interested in this story, I gather. You don't write too much about them in the book, but I gather your son ended up playing on the A's.
He did.
What was his experience on this team?
Well, I mean, a little bit of the backstory. He wanted to be a college baseball player. He made his college team, and then he was released after his second season, you know, much to his surprise. And he just did not want to quit. So he decided that the only way to maintain his baseball career was to keep playing. And so, as you can imagine, it's difficult to get one of these highly competitive summer teams to look at you if that's your situation. So he wrote almost 100 teams, and one team responded, and that was the Clarinda A's. And Merle had looked at Pat and said, well, I don't know, you know, this might not work out. And Pat said, this is exactly the kind of person we want here, you know, somebody that really wants to play. And so he went out there, got in a car, drove about 20 hours across the country, and ended up having kind of a transformative experience. Did very well, you know, against really higher level competition than his college team, and then returned the next season, made the team, and was had the best ERA on the team. So but more than that, it kind of renewed his faith in people. Because the family, you know, that he lived with, he kind of grew up, you know, in a metropolitan area, and he's living in a town outside of Clarinda of only 500 people. But this family was wonderful, and it was like he had a new little brother and a new little sister for a summer, and we still keep in touch with that family today.
You write that you only actually yourself met Merle once. When did that meeting happen, and what was it like?
Well, that was during Parents Weekend during that season. They have one weekend where, you know, they invite all the parents to come out. And so, you know, we went out for that and, you know, just sort of got to briefly say, hey, thank you, you know, for giving him this opportunity. And he also spoke for a few minutes to the other parents and really had this presence about him that was quiet in his delivery, but he had a lot to say. And you could kind of see, and this is when his own personal health was not really very good. But in that moment, you know, he could gather himself and really give a pitch about, you know, what he hoped all the players could get from it. And when you go to the field and you see the dugout, on the dugout, there are plaques of 36-plus players who went on to play Major League Baseball. And then you talk to people like Ozzie Smith and Vaughn Hayes and Chuck Knobloch and Bud Black, and you hear what they still have to say about him, you know, 40 years after the fact, then you knew that there was a really powerful story here that really revolves around a man, a town, and a team.
There are countless other summer college teams out there, some in the D.C. area where you live, some here in Wisconsin where I'm speaking with you from. Would you imagine that there are other Merle Eberlys out there whose stories are waiting to be told?
Well, there may well be. I suspect that there are. You know, some teams have to really think about kind of running at a profit, and one of the things that helped the Clarinda team was they didn't. And so when you take the money motivation off the table, it makes it a little bit easier to operate strictly from a baseball point of view. But I think that's kind of what we all have this fascination about baseball, is that there are people who just have this abiding love for the game and are willing to you know, devote amazing numbers of hours to it.
Are you going to go out to Clarinda with this book?
I am, in fact, and really looking forward to that. They're going to have a little event at the Clarinda Library that I'm looking forward to, and also just to seeing people again. You know, I spent obviously a fair amount of time there doing the research for the book, and it's really quite a nice place. It's one of these places that we think no longer exists, in that there's a real town square with a courthouse where they had a fire, and instead of tearing the courthouse down, they rebuilt it. The town square has almost exclusively local merchants. and the local restaurant. And there's just a, there's an ethic there that I think is very special.
Well, it's a terrific story. And Mike Taggart, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Michael Tackett's new book is called The Baseball Whisperer, a small-town coach who shaped big league dreams. Tackett is an editor in the Washington Bureau of the New York Times.